Hey guys, thanks for joining us today. Before we get started, I want to let you guys know that this episode may contain content that is sensitive for some of our listeners. Please take care of your mental health, and we understand if you are unable to listen to this episode. We hope that you will join us again soon. Without further ado, here's today's episode.
Hey guys, we're back.
We are back and officially getting started.
Here we go. So welcome back to the PB&J podcast.
Yes.
I am your favorite jelly, Jenny.
And I am your fabulous peanut butter, Shell.
So today we have a case to discuss with you guys, and we are trying out a new format. So what we're going to do, just to kind of give you a heads up, is I'm going to tell the story. And I'll be doing the true crime stories. And Shell?
I'll be doing paranormal and some true crime. Just depends on what it is. So
one person will tell the story, and then we will have kind of a back and forth discussion about the story.
Yes.
So you're going to get all the details of the story first, and then we're going to discuss it.
Yes.
So, and this is what we need from our loyal viewers and listeners who have been patiently waiting for us to come back.
Yes.
And we need some support and interaction with you guys. So like, subscribe, share, all that jazz. Doesn't cost you a dime to do any of that stuff. And we want you guys to interact with us.
Yeah.
So we want suggestions, constructive criticism.
Yes, please.
Constructive criticism, suggestions, story suggestions. And I will get to work on maybe some sort of form that we can put on our Facebook page or Instagram page, whichever.
Definitely.
Or both.
Yeah.
Where you can write in, submit story suggestions. Because we want to do what you guys want to hear.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously we get some enjoyment out of this or we wouldn't be doing it. But the main goal is we want to share with you guys.
Right.
So we want to know what you guys want to hear, what you guys want to know about, and that's what we can do. So today, though, we're going to talk about the Pettit family case. This is the story of Jennifer and William Pettit and their two daughters, Haley and Michaela. And with this, I want to focus a lot on the victims of this crime and not quite as much on the perpetrators of this crime, because I think in a lot of these kinds of cases, the victims kind of get lost in the drama of all of it.
Definitely.
And, you know, this family did not deserve this to happen. And I'm not saying that any other family deserves it to happen. I'm not saying that at all. But this family was living their lives, doing their things, doing good things. And this happened to them randomly. And no one deserves that. So with that, let's get started. So this case is from July 23rd of 2007. It happened in Cheshire, Connecticut, and it involved the Pettit family, which consisted of Dr. William Pettit Jr., Jennifer Hawk Pettit, who was 48, Haley Pettit, who was 17, and Michaela Pettit, who was only 11. So, William and Jennifer were married in 1985 after meeting at a children's hospital in Pittsburgh, meeting at the Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh in 1985. She was a new oncology nurse, and he was a third-year medical student. So, about the non-surviving victims, which are Jennifer, who was 48 at the time. She was a pediatric oncology nurse. She was a school nurse and the co-director of the health center at Cheshire Academy. She was also diagnosed at some point with MS. And I'm not sure, I do not have the information on that. And I apologize for not having that information, but I don't have the information on when she was diagnosed with MS, but I just know that she was diagnosed with MS. The next victim was Haley, who was 17 at the time. She had graduated from Miss Porter's school. She played varsity cross country, basketball, and crew. She was on the honor roll, senior leadership role of the Athletic Association head, and she was awarded exceptional community service. She was scheduled to attend Dartmouth and study medicine. She started Haley's Hope, which is a fundraiser for MS. And then the last non-surviving victim was 11-year-old Michaela, who attended Chase Collegiate School. She took over Haley's Hope and renamed it Michaela's Miracle. And she liked to cook. And she did cook for the family on the evening before the murders. Now, the sole survivor of this case is Dr. William Pettit Jr. He grew up in Plainville, Connecticut. He went to Dartmouth. He went to the College of University of Pittsburgh. He did a residency at University of Rochester School of Medicine and concluded his formal education at Yale University School of Medicine. He was an endocrinologist, and if you don't know what that is, I refer to them as a diabetes doctor, but they handle so much more than that. So, but I have diabetes, so I see an endocrinologist. So that's my knowledge of them, is they definitely deal with things that have, that are, it's the study of the endocrine system. So that's just my medical terminology schooling.
Nice.
He did have a private practice, but he also volunteered with other organizations and was acting director of public health from 1994 to 2008. Now, what happened to William in this case is he was beaten with a baseball bat in the head and tied up in the basement. While his wife was being assaulted, he yelled at the intruders, and one of them said, "Don't worry, it will be over soon." Now, thinking it was now or never, he did manage to escape, even though he had lost at least 7 quarts of blood. He was on a blood thinner. After he did that, he retired and started the Pettit Family Foundation. He is now serving his 3rd term as a state representative from the 22nd district, as well as being on several committees. He has since remarried and now has a son. And at the time of this recording, he may have more children. I don't know. So this is the story of the woman. You may be familiar with this in another realm, because this is the story where they had the wife, Jennifer. They took her to the bank, or one of the perpetrators took her to the bank and had her withdraw money, and while the other stayed at the house with the 2 girls and the doctor. And there is some stuff out there about that. So you may know this because of that. But what ultimately ended up happening is the 3 females died as a result of this crime. So that, and it's pretty grisly. I mean, she was assaulted. There's suspicion that one or both of the girls might have been assaulted as well. And then the house basically was set on fire, I believe. God,
that's horrific.
So, and if you're wondering, and I'll be honest, I wondered too when I first started researching this, is why didn't this guy do anything? I had no idea that he had lost 7 pints of blood.
That's new to me.
That is insane.
That's crazy.
And if you think about, I don't know how much the human body holds in blood. I really don't. I probably should have researched that prior to, but it's not very much. I mean, Losing 7 pints of blood is a lot.
Yeah.
It is a lot of blood to lose. The fact that he was even able to get free himself and get out of the house is a miracle. The fact that he survived is a miracle after that. I mean, he was very beaten, and it was not, it is literally a miracle that he survived. So let's talk about these two pieces of crap that did this to this poor family. So we have Stephen Hayes, who was of Homestead, Florida, and Joshua, let me see if I can say this name correctly, Komisarjewski of Torrington, Connecticut. Hayes and Komisarjewski, I'm massacring this, so we'll just say Joshua. Hayes and Joshua met at a halfway house in 2006. Now, their criminal history is extensive. Hayes was convicted as an adult for the first time in 1980 when he was 16 years old. He was arrested nearly 30 times, the last of which being before the Pettit case was in 2004. So 3 years before the Pettit case was the last time he had been arrested. He was found guilty of 16 out of the 17 charges related to this case. On October 5th of 2010. On November 8th of 2010, he was sentenced to death, but in 2015, that was changed to a life sentence. That makes no sense to me.
None.
But that's what happened. And in 2019, he claimed to be transgender. I don't know what the status of that is now, but Joshua was adopted. His first burglary was committed when he was 14. And in 2002, he was arrested for 18 home invasions. On October 13th of 2011, he was convicted of all 17 counts and given the death penalty, which was also reduced to a life sentence. So let's talk about the charges in this case, because there are so many of them, and I really want to hit every one of them. Okay, so charge number one was the murder of Jennifer. Charge number two, the murder of Haley. Three was the murder of Michaela. The fourth charge was a capital felony, which is murder of two or more persons at the same time and in the course of a single transaction. So more than one person in one event.
Okay.
Five is capital felony for someone under the age of 16, which was Michaela. Then we have six, seven, eight, and nine are kidnapping in the first degree of the four family members. So William, Jennifer, Haley, Michaela. Count 10 was capital felony, death in the course of kidnapping of Jennifer. Count 11 was capital felony, death in the course of kidnapping of Haley. And count number 12 was capital felony, death in the course of kidnapping of Michaela. Count 13 was SA, first degree, of Jennifer. Count 14 was a capital felony, death in the course of an SA of Jennifer. And then we have count 15 was burglary in the third degree. Count 16 was arson in the first degree, and count 17 was assault in the second degree of William. So those are the 17 counts that they were charged with. Now, Joshua got convicted of all 17 counts, and Hayes got convicted of 16 of the 17. And I'm not quite sure which one he did not get convicted of. I am leaning towards thinking it is the assault of William, because I want to say that Joshua was the one that assaulted William, but I don't know that for sure. Okay. So let's talk about this. What do you think about what happened in this case?
Honestly, my first thought is how terrifying to be in your home with your family
and minding your own business.
Minding your own business. And people come in and do the things that they did to these, this woman and, and her children. Mm-hmm. And then I gotta, this is the thing. I know how fiercely my husband would defend me.
Absolutely.
How terrifying for him to know that there is nothing.
To not be able.
And to be able to hear it going on. And not be able to
and know that this is all happening and not be able to, not, number one, not only are you not physically able to.
Right.
How mentally able was he to after he had been beaten like
right.
that? Right. I mean.
That's.
And lost that amount of blood.
Yeah. I mean, because honestly, this man is going to live with that. And I imagine it's, he suffers. Even though he's, you know, he's living his life,
yes.
he's still, they're still a big part of that. Every day, they're still a big part of that.
I'm
you don't
certain.
Get over that. You no. don't. And people, I'm going to be honest with you, people. People that say, oh, it gets better with time. No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
It changes.
It changes. It does not get better. You learn to live your life, but you live your life differently. So just the fact that he has to live with that every day and still try to go on with his life. That's
okay. So let me interject here because I just actually looked it up on my phone because it was bugging me.
Okay.
The human body holds 10 pints of blood.
And he lost.
This man lost 7 of those 10.
So more than the majority of the blood in his body.
Yes.
And was still able to get up and get out.
And he was tied up and beaten.
Yeah.
So There were some things said about the fact that he got away and didn't get his family away. Stop. Seriously, stop.
Absolutely stop.
Because this man surviving this attack is a miracle.
Yes. Yeah.
This man being able to go through all of this, sit through all of this trial, yeah. or these trials of these pieces of crap.
Oh my God.
Mourn the loss of his wife and his 2 children.
Yeah.
And still serve his community.
Yeah.
As state representative.
Yeah.
And still run the Pettit Family Foundation.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy deserves the happiest life he could ever possibly
have
after going through some crap like that.
Absolutely.
I mean, so don't talk about, you know, I'm going to get on my soapbox for a second here, but
do it.
Don't talk about the fact that he did not get his family out
yeah.
or the fact that he got out and didn't stay in
yeah.
and die with the rest of his
yeah.
family. Talk about the fact that this man was on a blood thinner.
Yeah.
and lost 7 pints of his blood, which is more than half
yeah.
of the amount of pints we have in our bodies. And was beaten severely, managed to untie himself and get out of the basement so that he could tell these anyone that would listen
yeah.
what these pieces of crap did to his family.
Yeah. His mindset was to get help for his family. It
yes.
was not.
He had no idea this house was about to go up in flames.
Exactly. And let me tell you something, because I know very little about this case, just bits and pieces I've heard. But these guys went there with the sole purpose of killing everybody in that house.
Yes.
So if he had gone upstairs, he'd be dead right now and nobody would know what happened.
And I can promise you that these guys thought he was going to
oh,
die.
Oh, absolutely.
Their intention was that he was going to die.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
I mean, they had no intention of the fact that after
no.
what they had done to him
no.
and how much blood he had lost.
Yeah.
That he would be physically or mentally able to get up
yeah.
and get out of that house.
Yeah.
They had every intention of him
yes.
you know, dying right there with yeah. his family.
Because they did not know that he got out.
No, they did not.
So they figured he went up in flames with the rest of the family. So
yeah.
they didn't know he had gotten out of the house. They thought they got off. They thought they
yeah.
were.
They thought they
got away with it.
They thought they could.
Yeah.
I don't know if they thought they did, but they thought
at the moment they thought they could. Yeah.
But there's some sketchiness with this story in that, there's something, you know, if you watch this, there is a documentary about it. It's like the Cheshire Murders, I believe is the name of it. And it's about this case, and it's about the fact that, you know, she went to the bank with one of these guys. She was composed, but they still knew something was off about it. The bank did.
Yeah.
And they called the police and told them. And there's something about the police being out in front of the house when some of this went down.
Yeah.
And I'm not quite sure what all of that is, because I really wanted to focus more on this family and how great these people were and how amazing and giving this family was.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about, you know, a doctor who also, you know, volunteered his time and served his community and all of that stuff. He was the director of public health for his community for almost 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, about 4 years shy of 10 years. About 6 years shy of 10 years. So that's not right either. I don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm trying to math. And
it's all right.
The math isn't mathing for me right now.
Mathing's but hard.
From 94 to 2008. Yep. So a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's 14 years, right?
Yeah, just about.
Am I right about that? That's 14 years.
It. Yeah.
So a long time. This guy was the director of public health, which I'm sure has to be a thankless job.
Yeah.
Has to be. But, you know, a doctor, a nurse, a pediatric oncology nurse.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea what that, there's no way I could do it.
No, there's
none whatsoever.
Unless you work in that field or work close to that field, you have no idea what these people that work in oncology, especially pediatric oncology, go through on a day-to-day basis, because you're dealing with something that no parent should have to be on the other end of that hearing.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that have to deliver that and take care of that child and
yes.
stuff. So it's, and the only reason I say this is, like, my sister used to work in a department that dealt with adults mainly.
Yeah.
And it was hard on her.
Very
and she
hard.
She was just like,
I was just the front office.
Front office.
You know,
and that's, so it's hard from back to front, but being that close to it, I can't imagine.
Yeah.
You have to have a heart for people. Absolutely
sure.
for people.
For sure.
And then a heart for what you do and how you deal with it too. So,
and let's just talk about these two girls. Oh. I mean, Haley was just an all-star athlete,
yeah.
it sounds like.
Yeah.
I mean, she did varsity cross country, varsity basketball, varsity crew. She was on the honor roll. She had senior leadership roles. She was awarded exceptional community service.
Yeah.
That is something that kids that age don't typically
no.
do.
Unless
I'm not
going to
say they don't ever do.
Unless they're ordered to.
But they
to.
Don't typically,
so, yeah.
you know, do that.
Yeah.
She had a heart for service, community service. She had a heart for, you know, raising awareness and money for the multiple sclerosis.
Yeah.
You know, she was going to the same school her dad went to. That's where she was headed. She wanted to study medicine like her dad.
Yep.
And, you know, little Haley, or little Michaela, not... you know, took over Haley's community service
yeah.
foundation, basically, and renamed it to Michaela's Miracle. I mean, those are kids that were, in their core, good
yeah.
kids.
Yeah, had a heart for service.
They wanted to
yeah.
serve their community
yeah.
like their parents were.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the saddest part of it for me is, we will never now know what these two girls could have
right.
contributed to
right.
society, because these two pieces of shit, pardon my French, but these
true.
Two pieces of shit decided one day they were going to walk into this random house and ruin lives.
Yeah. And from what I understand about this, there was no connection between these people at all.
Correct.
So it was just a eeny meeny, and they picked
right.
the house that they picked. And the area that they were in was affluent.
Yes.
And from what I understood, they were, wasn't it, I could correct me if I'm wrong, but weren't they in a cul-de-sac at the back of the cul-de-sac?
I want to say they were, but I'm not positive.
So they
that.
Skipped several houses and just randomly picked this house. And the family just happened to be home.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, and I honestly don't think that it was, oh, we didn't know they were home. I think they knew they were home and they didn't care.
Yeah.
So, which around that time, though, that time frame that this happened, that was happening a lot.
Yeah.
Where they were targeting when people were home. Yes. Doing stuff. So not these particular guys, but just in general in this crappy world we live in. So
I mean, but basically, like, this whole family, you know, Dr. Pettit's entire family, both in immediate family, yeah, as in his wife and his children, and his extended family, Jennifer's family.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're mourning the loss of their family, and it's horrible. It's,
yeah,
absolutely horrible the way it happened,
yeah,
why it happened. I mean, there's no reason for it at all. And these two pieces of crap, instead of getting the death penalty, like I believe they should have.
Absolutely.
And you may disagree with me on death penalty cases, but what they did, if anything deserves the death penalty,
oh,
this did.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely.
And instead of these pieces of crap being done away with, and
yeah,
where society doesn't have to work for, you know, doesn't have to worry about them anymore, we now have to pay for their
room and board for the rest of their natural lives.
For the rest of the time they're alive. And this family, we don't get to know the joy of this family,
right,
because they're not here anymore.
Right.
So, you know, if you want to, you know, donate to the Pettit Family Foundation.
Yes.
I did have some more information on that, and I apologize for not having that in front of me. But the PettitFamilyFoundation.org is the foundation. I believe it is still up and running, and I will check and update if it's not. But the PettitFamilyFoundation.org is where you need to go. Check out their story and do what you feel compelled to do. And at the very least, you know, keep in your thoughts and prayers this man who is now having to navigate his life as a widower and as a parent of deceased children.
Yeah.
And that I don't wish on anyone.
No.
Ever. Because I would, I mean, I can't even talk about it because I will lose,
yeah,
my crap.
And
but the fact that he is now trying to navigate a new life,
yeah,
without his wife.
Yeah.
He is now remarried. And I wish them all the joy and happiness,
yes, yes,
in the world. So,
and the other thing too is, you know, while your thoughts and prayers are with William and his new family and his day to day, you know, remember Jennifer's family too, because,
yes,
you know, they lost a sister. They lost a daughter.
They lost grandchildren.
Yeah, they lost grandchildren.
Nieces.
So that's, it's still, it, no matter what happens, whether it's by, you know, random people coming in or someone in your family doing it, the whole family from top to bottom suffers because,
yes,
it affects your day-to-day life. It affects your future. You always think about it. The anniversary of it comes around every year. And no matter how hard you try to move on, there's, you know, something, a song, a word, somebody says something,
a scent,
and it brings everything flooding back.
Yes.
You know, I can imagine that he can't even smell a like a fireplace fire without it triggering. I mean,
yeah,
everything.
Possibly.
And people talk about it. And I know a lot of people get like, oh my God, trigger. But those things trigger. You know, we lost our dad in 2001 to cancer.
Yes.
And I can't hear an AC/DC song.
I cannot smell Aramis cologne.
Can't smell Aramis cologne.
And I smell it all,
yeah,
the time.
Can't.
And it is the most, it is the most obscure cologne.
Yes.
Ever.
Yes.
And the smell,
yeah,
of it will bring me right,
yeah,
back.
Cigarette
to being
smoke.
A little girl.
Yeah. Cigarette smoke.
You know.
You know, my dad was a jokester. So, you know, things that I'd be like, oh gosh, he would really find that funny. This is what people go through from day to day with a regular loss of a family member. So with, you know, just somebody just naturally dying or a disease taking them away, imagine the impact of a murder.
And they say, like, I mean, you always hear, I think, you know, people always say it'll get easier with time.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
No.
I don't want to be, you know, a naysayer, but it just doesn't.
No, it
doesn't. It gets different.
Yeah.
With time.
Yeah.
But I will tell you right now, I still miss my dad.
Every day.
The same amount today as I did.
The day it happened.
Almost 21 years ago.
Yeah.
Anytime my child does something, who my child is now a grown man.
Yeah.
He's 20 years old, almost 21. He's a grown man about to complete his sophomore year of college. Every time that kid does something, I want to call my dad.
Absolutely.
And I can't.
Absolutely.
And it hurts every time.
Yeah.
So, and I did not lose my dad in a traumatic way.
No.
It was sudden, yes. But was it a traumatic, someone ripped him out of my life? No.
No.
Not like, and I'm not in any way, shape, or form trying to compare us losing our dad.
No.
To what Dr. Pettit lost.
Right, right.
In the manner in which he lost them. I am not trying to compare that at all because there is no comparison.
No.
But, you know, if you think, well, gosh, this happened in 2007. He's remarried. He has a
He's moving
children
on.
Now or another child now. He's moving on with his life. He's living his life and all that stuff. I promise you he has not forgotten.
He has not.
He does not a day goes by that he doesn't think about his family.
Right.
His previous family.
Right.
You know, Jennifer's parents.
Yeah.
The fact that they don't have their daughter or their granddaughters.
Yeah.
His parents have lost a daughter-in-law.
Yeah.
His parents have lost granddaughters.
Yeah.
You know, all the things that he did not get to see with his daughters.
Absolutely.
All the things that him and Jennifer did not get to do, did not get to see, did not get to have, because these two pieces of crap took them away from him.
Yeah.
I promise you he thinks about it every single day. Every single day.
Yeah.
That, you know, so I'm not trying to compare the two.
No.
I'm just telling you from experience, when you lose someone you love so dearly, like a spouse, a parent, a child, a sibling, whatever, when you lose someone that's that close to you, you don't ever get over it.
It alters your life.
It will always be with you.
Yep.
And to lose them traumatically in the way in which he did will always be with him.
Yeah.
He could have 30 children by now.
Yeah.
He is still missing the two he doesn't have.
The two he doesn't have. Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
You know, think about that. You know, think about this. Keep this family in your thoughts and prayers. 2007 was a long time ago. I understand that. But it could have been yesterday for all we know.
Absolutely.
You know, in his mind, in their family's mind, in Jennifer's parents' mind, her siblings' mind, you know, it was yesterday. Because there are days where I'm thinking about dad and it was yesterday that he's been gone since yesterday. There are days where like I cannot believe it's been almost 21 years.
I know
or 22 actually.
22
it's been almost 22 years now because he died almost a year exactly almost a year before my child was born. So and Nathan will be 21 in September. Dad will have been gone 22 years in December this year.
And
so, you know, just think about that, you know, and first and foremost, don't ever miss an opportunity to tell someone that you love them, that you care about them, that you're thinking about
absolutely.
Them. Absolutely. I know we get busy. I know we have to live our lives and I understand that and I get that, but just don't go one moment without telling your family that you love them, that you care about them, that you think about them all the time. You may not have time to spend time with them or to do the things you want to do or the money to do the things you want to do with your family, but don't miss an opportunity to tell them how much you love them.
Yeah.
So that is our story for today. And we appreciate you guys hanging with us.
Absolutely.
We appreciate you guys coming back to listen to us. If this was your first time listening, welcome. We're happy to have you.
Yes.
Like we said before, don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. It is a nice, easy, free way You can help us out. We really want to grow our channel. We really want to bring you some content that you guys want to hear.
Yes.
So don't forget, check us out on YouTube as well. Our channel is PB and spelled out J7174.
No spaces.
No spaces. And is spelled out. It's not the symbol. So PB and J7174. Check us out. Check us out on Facebook. Check us out on Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, Anchor, all those good places. And we will talk to you guys again soon.
Bye.
Bye, y'all.